why should you listen to this topic? Why should you be even interested in the idea of disapproval and how it impacts you? I think because it impacts your health, it impacts your happiness, it impacts your success, it impacts your failure, it impacts illness, it impacts everything, potentially. And if you're human, this is something that you're going to have to deal with and overcome. People may think that when they are disapproving of somebody else, the way they look, the way they behave, their religion, their fill in the blank, that they are creating a one-way flow of information from them to the object of their disapproval. That is not true. What they're doing is they're creating energy flows that go inward as well as outward. It ripples inward, so it penetrates the human body, and you can examine a lot of conditions, and you'll go, cells not talking to cells, cell organs not communicating with organs, Anything that you and I think about someone else, anything we feel about someone else, anything we say about someone else, and anything we do about someone else is captured by our subconscious mind as being about us. I bet I'm not the only one on this call that has recognized this. A situation where we criticize somebody else, we say, and 4 minutes later, or even shorter period of time, we're doing exactly what we just criticized. It's almost as if we just told our subconscious minds what to do because we self-blamed, even though we thought we were targeting somebody else. That condition is like when we criticize somebody else, our subconscious mind takes that energy, processes that energy, as if we were being criticized. And you go, wait. And then our bodies react physiologically, and the cells of our bodies will become stressed, and those cells go into the self-protect mode because now they're under attack from us, and then fight or flight can be triggered. And that entire process can be repeated a lot of times, every single day. And each time it is repeated, it interferes with our immune system. And you'd go, that's not what I want to do. No, me either. But we also interfere with our normal metabolism. We interfere with our digestion and blood circulation. Even our ability to think and process information is interfered with. In other words, our health and our happiness and our abilities to create those in our lives are interfered with. That's a problem. Now, everyone understands the great spiritual law, the law of cause and effect. Usually it's referred to as we reap what we sow. So we get that in theory, right? I mean, if you put your hand on a hot stove, you will cause hand on hot stove, effect, burn, painful hand. You get it. I get it. But sometimes when there's a delay, we lose sight of it. But I have to tell you, I love this law. To me, that means that if we want to experience an effect, just choose anything. Health, prosperity, happiness, success, love. If we want to experience an effect, all we have to do is figure out a way to create it. It's like, if I can figure out how to cause it, then I will experience it. Yep. It's like, I want to grow corn. If I could only figure out how to grow corn, I got it. I plant seeds of corn and then I nurture them. We pretty much can get that. But the good news here is that everyone, rich, poor, old, young, regardless of education, regardless of genetics, regardless of skin color, everyone can work with this law to their advantage. Personally, I interpret this law as more evidence that the power that you and I probably call God is an all-loving power. This law is the fairest concept I can imagine. We reap what we sow. I don't know what can be fairer than that. Of course, one of the ramifications of this law is if we criticize, we will be criticized. Maybe not instantly, but at some point, that harvest is coming back to us. If we hate, we will be hated. If we reject, we will be rejected. The very good news is that as we start to understand this and go, you know what? If we sow seeds kindness, our harvest will be kindness. If we are respectful, we will be respected. And if we're loving, we will be loved. I can hear murmuring in the audience, even though you're muted. I tried to be kind to so-and-so, but so-and-so was mean to me, or some version of that probably just ran through your heads. Let me tell you, the law of cause and effect is not a business transaction. If we think this way, if I do something nice for so-and-so, so-and-so will do something nice for me. That's not love. That's a business transaction. We're bartering one thing for another. Do we do that? Sure. Some people barter with God. Dear God, if you will just fill in the blank, I will give up, fill in the blank, or I will do, fill in the blank. Children can make these kind of business deals with God to a terrible disadvantage of themselves. I remember one time when I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, I was sitting on the couch in the semi-dark, and I'm trying to sew a hole in my sock. I'm trying to darn a sock. And I've got a straight pin in my mouth, and I'm thinking I'm going to try to position this so it holds the hole together so I can sew this. And all of a sudden, the straight pin was gone. It wasn't on my lap. It wasn't on my shirt. It wasn't on the couch. It wasn't on the floor. I said, oh, my God. I must have swallowed it. I immediately lie down and started negotiating with God. God, please keep me alive. If you do, I will give up happiness. If you do, I will give up fun. I'll give up fun. Please, God, don't let me die. People do this. Now, I should have had this conversation with my father. I just entered a contract with God. Yeah, tell me about it, Tommy. My father was a lawyer. He was, little boys and little girls can't enter legal contracts. They can't even enter contracts like that with God. If that event sounds kind of silly to you, consider this one. I knew a beautiful woman who had almost been raped. In the attack, she committed to never enjoy sex if God would protect her right now from her attacker. She was protected. She was not raped. And she could no longer enjoy sex. Never enjoyed sex after that. She thought she had to give something up in order to get God to do this. Vows made when our lives and our bodies are in terrible danger are like confessions forced out of somebody by, I'll torture him, and then what he says is invalid. Confessing when you're being tortured is invalid, and making vows under these terrible conditions are invalid. Where would we ever get the idea that God is like a man trying to get things from us in exchange for his help and protection? Where would we get that? Well, we may have been taught that God is the ultimate disapprover. He's the ultimate criticizer by condemning people to hell. Uh-oh. I don't hope you didn't notice what I just did. And it is that ultimate criticism. It's like, what can be more ultimate than being sent to hell? I've been using words like disapproval and criticism, but I want to shift to another word. Rejection. And I'll repeat this statement. All rejection is self-rejection. If you're going to reject somebody, where is it coming from? You didn't just buy it at the grocery store. I'll take a quart of rejection. I might need it later on when I deal with my next-door neighbor. That's not what happens. We pull it out of ourselves, so we must have it in us. And therein lies one of the terrible problems with rejection. I spoke about helplessness the other day in a cutting-edge call. What do people do when they have chronic feelings of helplessness? They reject themselves for having the feelings of helplessness. That rejection turns into self-hatred. And then what? That self-hatred ends up killing them and killing others. And that killing can be fast and violent, or it can be slow, steady, and almost silent. Now, you can see the fast and violent killing just by turning on your television or reading a newspaper or looking at the Internet. and you can see the slow, steady, almost silent killing in doctors' offices, in hospitals, and hospices. In the slow, steady, silent rejection, it's as if we're taking that straight pin that I talked about, and we're picking our fingers, and then we stick it into our cells until our life force drains away. We stick ourselves with self-disapproval and self-rejection. One of the most powerful impulses in human beings is to defend ourselves from criticism, emotional, or physical attack. Disapproval is criticism, emotional, or physical attack. Disapproval hurts, right? You know that as a child, and you know that as an adult. It causes pain. The pain of disapproval is directly connected, in my opinion, to procrastination. The next time you find yourself procrastinate, look for the disapproval that you're afraid of. And in most cases, I'll tell you where it's coming from. That disapproval is coming from us, ourselves. We don't want to put up with our own disapproval. What? Because we're going to say really, really unkind things to ourselves, maybe even vicious things. Disapproval is also directly related to illness. Consider this. There's somebody in your life. I'll say maybe somebody at work, maybe a neighbor, somebody you know. Hopefully I'm not a person in your family that you disapprove of. How much positive energy do you communicate to that person? How much positive energy do you send to them? Not much, right? Now consider the cells in your body that refuse to communicate with your other cells. Like, that's not a good thing. Do you realize that cancer cells are like cells that have received not enough positive communication of energy? That's how they became cancer cells, incapable of reproducing healthy cells, only able to reproduce semi-functional cancer cells. Do you realize that when we disapprove of ourselves, our bodies, or parts of our bodies, you know, our nose, our breasts, our butts, our fill in the blank, we're attacking ourselves and causing harm to ourselves? Reader's Digest has a section. Laughter is the best medicine. I'll tell you what, laughter is very good medicine, but it's not the best. Love is the best medicine. Love you. Love your body, love the true essence of those other people that I just mentioned, and the true essence, that's not their skin color, that's not their hairstyle, that's not their language. The true essence is the same as your true essence. They came from the same place you did, created by the same creator. We don't have to be tricked into hating other people. It's profitable, not for you or me, but it's profitable, but you don't have to be tricked into it. For those people who take in the 6 o'clock news, notice the amount of disapproval you're allowing into your hearts and your minds. Just listen to that. How much disapproval? You go, your cells are hearing that. They're bombarded by that. Your subconscious mind is going, this is about us. This is about us. And you go, no. They're talking about somebody else. Subconscious mind goes, No, they're talking about us. Taking in poisonous energy in the form of words and images does not produce a healthy, happy person. I want to broaden the definition a bit of self-disapproval because it takes various forms. You go, self-disapproval, I don't do that. How about refusing to forgive yourself? Refusing to forgive yourself. Or hurting yourself through your harmful actions. How about criticizing yourself to make yourself less, letting out air out of you, letting life force out of you, making you less than you really are, actually damaging this magnificent creation created by the Creator? You know, maybe. I could go through the rest of the 12 categories of the healing codes and say that we withhold love from ourselves for things we did and for things we didn't do. We are impatient with ourselves. Anybody on this call impatient with themselves? Possibly, right? We're not kind to ourselves. We battle against self-control. And that list could go on and on. However, it is when we self-attack, self-attack, with intense emotion. Just all of a sudden we're doing something, it doesn't go the way we want, and we say something vicious to ourselves. That can do deep harm. Have you ever said these words in fury? What's wrong with me? If you say that with disgust and maybe even hatred, that's destructive. How about this? I never do anything right. You say that with intense emotion, that's a damaging command to give yourself to never do anything right. It's like, whoops. Yeah, exactly. If we grew up in a critical household or a critical family, we may blame ourselves instantly when things don't go our way or when things go slightly wrong. If we don't instantly do something perfectly, we self-attack. The pain from self-attack can immobilize us, make decisions incredibly difficult, can prevent us from doing what we want to do, and, of course, we then end up procrastinating. Practicing self-attack trains us to fear more attacks. From whom? From ourselves, from other people. Well, now we're looking for that saber-toothed tiger, that potential attacker for everywhere and every activity. And our world gets smaller and smaller, and our ability to use our potential gets less and less. And, of course, that increase of self-attack leads to stress, unhappiness, illness. No living thing grows better in a hostile environment. Self-attack makes us hostile to ourselves. Self-attacks are like a mental, emotional, physical form of an autoimmune disease in which we treat ourselves as the enemy. That, treating ourselves as an enemy, you can imagine, that's a recipe for disaster. You're the major asset in your life. If you're going to create, if you're going to cause desirable results of health and happiness, you're going to have to use you. And attacking you is one of the worst possible things. I had this thought as a child. If I suffer enough now, when it comes time to be judged and rewarded, come on into heaven, or sent to hell, I would be able to say in my defense, I've suffered terribly already. I suffered in advance. I suffered preemptively. So, you know, could I get some leniency? Could you guys cut me a break? I cannot be the only person, the only child, who ever thought or whoever was taught to fear God's punishment more than to appreciate God's love. My God no longer has these human characteristics of jealousy and wrath and judgmentalism and favoritism and an eagerness to punish. Men are like that. Men are like that. I'm not thinking God is like that. I don't have to preemptively self-punish to beat God to the punch. I spend much more of my time now trying to understand and experience God's love on a daily basis, sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour basis. You know why? Because I'm interested in healing, not only myself, but helping other people heal. God's love heals. Allow it to heal you. Allow it to heal all of us. Instead of self-disapproving, instead of self-rejection, instead of self-attacks, we can let the self, the source of all love, the source of all healing, cleanse our hearts and our minds. We just need to ask for it and allow it. So here's how we can handle disapproval in a straightforward, simple way. ask your God to remove it from your heart and your mind. You find something upsetting with you're sending out lightning bolts to somebody in your environment, worker, neighbor, family member, yourself. Ask God to remove it from your heart and mind. Include that in your prayer before you do the healing code. Speak this aloud and allow it to be cleansed from you. I'm thinking this flow of God energy is capable of unbelievable healing, unbelievable benefit to us. It can wash us clean. It can wash away disapproval. It can even wash away hate and anger if we ask for it, if we allow it.